now graphic rating scale is also there, perhaps the most commonly used method, where one of the oldest method of evaluation is used. Under this method, a printed form as shown in the table is used to evaluate the performance of an employee. A variety of traits may be used in these types of rating devices, most common being on quantity or quality of work. So this is how you can say the quantity of work, where volume of work under normal working conditions, whether it is unsatisfactory, fair, satisfactory, good or outstanding, then quality of work like neatness, thoroughness, accuracy of work knowledge of job. Again, under these five, one can rate a clear understanding of the factors connected with the job, his attitude, exhibits enthusiasm and cooperativeness on the job, his dependability, is conscientious, thorough, reliable, accurate with respect to attendance, reliefs, lunch breaks, etc. His cooperation, his willingness and ability to work with others and produce desired goals. So here you can rate them either unsatisfactory, fair, satisfactory, good or outstanding, and total up. So from the graphic rating scale, excerpts can be obtained about the performance standards of employee. For instance, in the employees, a serious gaps in technical professional knowledge, that he knows rudimentary phases of job, he lacks the knowledge, and naturally he cannot bring about increase in productivity. He is reluctant to make any decisions on his own, so his decisions are unreliable or substandard. He declines to accept responsibility and fails to plan ahead effectively. He wastes and misuses the office resources, and naturally he will be rated as poor in this or unsatisfactory. Then it can be safely inferred that the standards of the performance of the employee are dismal or disappointing. The rating scale is the most common method of evaluation of an employee's performance today. Positive point in favor of this scale is that it's easy to understand, easy to use, and permits a statistical tabulation of scores of employees. When ratings are objective in nature, they can be effectively used as evaluators. While behavioral checklist is another method of performance appraisal, where you are putting the rating for various statements regarding the behavior of a person, whether it's an effective job behavior or ineffective job behavior. These behaviors relate to a number of behavioral dimensions which are determined to be relevant to the job. Items from a behavioral checklist for a salesperson's job. Instructions: please check those statements descriptive of an employee's behavior. So he calls on customers immediately after hearing of any complaints. He discusses complaints with the customer. He gathers facts relevant to the customer's complaints. He transmits information about complaints back to customers and resolves problems to their satisfaction. He plans each day's activity ahead of time. He lays off broad sales plans for 1 month ahead. He gathers sales information from customers, other salesmen, trade journals and other relevant sources. So whichever statement is correct for that particular salesman, you can tick mark that and say that he is excellent in these things. So behavioral checklists are well suited to employee development because they focus on behaviors as well as results and use absolute rather than comparative standards. An advantage of behavioral checklist is that evaluators are asked to describe rather than evaluate a subordinate's behavior. For this reason, behavioral checklist may meet with less evaluator resistance than some other methods. An obvious disadvantage of behavioral checklist is that too much of time and money must be invested to construct such an instrument where clearly it will come out with the positive aspect or the negative aspect of the behavior of the person. Behaviorally anchored rating scales are also there. This is also known as behavioral expectation scale. This method represents the latest innovation in performance appraisal. It's an appraisal tool that anchors a numerical rating scale with specific behavioral examples of good or poor performance. It's a combination of rating scale and critical incident techniques of employee performance evaluation. The critical incidents serve as anchor statements on a scale, and the rating for usually contains 6 to 8 specifically defined performance dimensions. So here you can say performance, points and behavior. For a trainee, he is extremely good and he is given 7 points if he can expect trainee to make valuable suggestions for increased sales and to have positive relationship with the customers all over the country. It will be considered as good if he can expect the trainee to initiate creative ideas for improved sales, it will be above average point given 5 if you can expect to keep in touch with the customers throughout the year. It can be given as 4 or average when he can manage with difficulty to deliver the goods in time. If it will be below average or 3, can expect to unload the trucks when asked by the supervisor only. If it will be poor, if you can expect to inform only a part of the customer, and extremely poor if you can expect to take extended coffee breaks and roam around purposelessly not doing any work. Then comes confidential report, which is more common with government agencies. It is mostly used in government organizations. It's a descriptive report which is prepared generally at the end of every year by the employee's immediate superior. Here the report highlights the strengths and weaknesses of the subordinate. The report is not data based at all. It is more of subjective thing. The impression of the superior about the subordinate are merely recorded here. That means there is a lot of subjective bias which can come into play, where there is no clear-cut objective evidence of why he is saying that this subordinate is poor or good or very good or excellent. It does not offer any feedback to the appraisee at the same time, because it's a confidential report. It just gets filed up for the next superior to see, if he needs to see that. The appraisee is not very sure about why his ratings have fallen despite his best efforts, why others are rated high when compared to him, on what basis he is going to be evaluated next year also, he doesn't know. Since the report is generally not made public, hence no feedback available, the subjective analysis of the superior is likely to be hotly contested. In recent years, due to pressure from courts as well as trade unions, the details of a negative confidential report now are given to the appraisee so that he can improve upon it and he can question if something which is written which is totally wrong. Management by objective MBO. As I have told you earlier also, objectives should be SMART, that is, they should be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant and time bound. So one should arrive at objectives based on the strategic goals of the organization, which should be percolated down to the individual level. So management by objective involves setting specific measurable goals with each employee and then periodically discussing his or her progress towards these goals. The term MBO almost always refers to comprehensive organization-wide goal setting. So organization-wide goal setting has to be done comprehensively, and then this should be percolated down to the department and down to the individual employee. So it consists of 6 main steps: set the organization's goals, establish organization-wide plan for next year and set the goals for that, then based on that you set the departmental goals. Here department trends, heads and their superiors jointly set goals for their departments, discuss and allocate these department goals. Department heads discuss the department goals with all subordinates in the department, often at a department wide meeting, and ask them to develop their own individual goals. In other words, how can each employee contribute to the department's attaining those goals? Define expected results, that is, set individual goals. Here the department head and the subordinates set short term performance targets, which can be for 3 months, 6 months or maximum 1 year. Performance review and measure the results, and department heads compare the actual performance to each employee with expected results and provide feedback at the end of the year. So department heads hold periodic performance review meetings with subordinates to discuss and evaluate the progress in achieving these expected results. So let's understand in case of a hospital one example for management by objective. Suppose there are 10 departments in a hospital and the medical director has come out with a plan for a corporate hospital that we want that this year our profit should be 20% more than what it was last year. And suppose the last year the profit was 1 crore rupees, so now it should be 1.2 crore rupees. Now this, there are 10 departments, so that should be divided, 1.2 crore should be divided into 10. So each department should be having, based on this, X amount of profit to be made. If say 12 lakh rupees, right? Now there are 12 people in department A and they want 12 lakh rupees to be achieved as a profit. It's a marketing department for this. So they are selling the services of the hospital, right? So these 12 people, you can divide these 12 lakhs into 1 lakh each. So you can have objective of each person as they should bring out 1 lakh worth of profit for the hospital. And suppose the profit margin for each patient is roughly on an average say 10%. That means when he wants to earn 1 lakh rupees as the profit, 1 lakh multiplied by 10, that means 1 crore or 10 lakh rupees should be the amount of revenue he should be able to generate for the hospital. That means he should have such number of patients whereby the revenue generated from this will be 10 lakh rupees. So at the end of the year, when his performance will be checked by his department head, he will see to it that whether he has brought the business worth 10 lakh rupees or not. If he has brought worth 14 lakh rupees, then he will be considered as excellent salesperson. If he has brought only 5 lakh instead of 10 lakh, then he is comparatively much poor. So this is how management by objective is done. And then correction can be suggested or training programs may be arranged for them. So features of MBO are, MBO emphasizes anticipatively set goals that are tangible, verifiable and measurable. Tangible, that means they are achievable. And they are verifiable, you can find out. And they are quantifiable or measurable. MBO focuses attention on what must be accomplished, that is goals, rather than how it is to be accomplished, methods. So here the ultimate aim is to achieve the goal. By what means they are going to be achieved, how they are going to be achieved is not discussed in this. MBO, by concentrating on key result areas, KRS in short, as we normally tell, translates the abstract philosophy of management into concrete phraseology of quantifiable results. It's a dynamic system which seeks to integrate the company's need to clarify and achieve its profit and growth targets with the manager's need to contribute and develop himself. So it depends on the manager himself how to get those targets achieved. So it is he himself who should decide of his personal development, of his developing more contacts, of his creating awareness among people about the hospital services that are available, of his advantages over other hospital services, etc., etc., and finally achieve the results of getting more number of patients coming to this hospital, getting the services and paying as per the diseases they are suffered from. So MBO is a systematic and rational technique. It is more of logical and rational thing. There is no emotions involved in that, that allows management to attain maximum results available from available resources by focusing on achievable goals. It allows the subordinate plenty of room to make creative decisions on his own how to achieve these goals. So let's understand about some of the problems in the appraising performance. One thing is unclear standards. If the concept of MBO is not understood well by the manager, then they cannot set the standards which are absolutely clear, which are smart, say specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and time bound. there is a halo effect also in performance appraisal. While taking interview of performance appraisal at times, with one good characteristic of the subordinate, the immediate superior is so much overwhelmed that for other technical problems or not achieving the goals also he will rate him at a higher level. Usually the immediate superior remembers the present and absolutely beginning of the year what he has done. If he has not noted down properly in his diary about all the critical incidents of the subordinate, at times because of halo effect he can rate him high. Then reverse of that is horn effect, where with one negative characteristic at times the performance of the subordinate is rated quite low, even though his overall performance may be good. So these are all subjective bias which are occurring. Then there can be distributional errors, as I told you, where people are forgetting what he has done 6 months back, but he remembers only last month what he has done. There can be similarity errors when two people have done more or less similar work or similar kind of objective, then they are rated in the same way. There can be proximity error, that means whatever was near, he'll remember more and then rate accordingly. Like, or if he is meeting him more often and telling him, then because of the proximity, he knows him little better and thinks more friendly and personalized things he is doing for some thing, and then he is rated better. Recency errors, as you know, recently suppose the performance of this person was slightly gone haywire due to some reason, then that is remembered and overall performance of the year, even though it was good, it is rated low. There can be contract error due to the contract which was made between the two parties. At times there was some misrepresentation and then one can rate wrongly. Attribution error, when you attribute certain thing to certain people based on stereotyping and all, at times one may give the wrong rating. Central tendency, some of the people are more or less rating everybody on the average and they will rate everybody on the rate of 4 or 5. Some of them have got personal bias against some people. Some of them are being rated based on stereotyping, that every time all of these kind of race people are usually high in mathematics and accounts like Marwadis and Gujaratis, and then they are thought to be doing perfectly well in that field, and if he is from finance department he is rated on a higher scale. So this is something where the various kinds of error may occur in case of performance appraisal rating. So these are some of the problems which can come, which should be avoided as far as possible. So how to avoid this? Always you should keep a diary with you, where you are going to write down date, time, incident, how, what was the behavior of the subordinate and what was the result and outcome of that. You should know what are the problems regarding if something is not going as per the requirement. If there are some external problems which have come which is responsible for this, then also you should know and then rate accordingly about his efforts. You should use the right tool. You should train the supervisors about the importance of the performance appraisal and how to do it absolutely objectively. And one should control the outside influences for not getting the result at time or even getting very high result. So advantages of performance appraisal are, it's a uniform system of reviewing and exchanging views between the subordinate and the superior. It gives an evidence of management interest in the individual employees for giving them feedback and then motivating them, and then positive reinforcement may be given to them. It can help in correcting the errors of them by sending them for proper training and development programs. It induces managers to think objectively about the performance of the subordinate. It leads to feedback which can improve the performance of the subordinate. It is basically based on objective decisions, and hence when objectively proper performance appraisal is done, it can help you in pay increases, training as well as promotion. It will help in utilization of a competency and training to improve the performance if required. So this is how we have learned in detail about how performance appraisal can be done, the importance of it, which is not only for the employer but also for the employee. For the employer, it will give a clear objective idea about where we are progressing. It will also help by management by objective to achieve the organizational, or say in this case hospital, goals to be achieved by properly distributing it among all the departments based on their past performance and based on their thrust areas, etc. Or overall the scenario of the market one can see, and based on that one can decide. The weightage can be given to various departments and decided about the performance of these departments, which can be percolated down to their subordinates, and we can get overall achievement of the objectives of the hospital. At the same time, it will lead to motivated staff who will work for the hospital for a longer time. Employee turnover will reduce because finally they feel that the top management is interested in us. They are giving us corrective measures to do what we should do by giving the right kind of training and development programs. They are giving us feedback where we are going wrong and where it can be improved by helping us by giving the resources required for that. And there are other things which we have learned regarding some of the problems of performance appraisal, like central bias, the leniency, the stereotyping, the horn effect, the halo effect, etc., and how one can prevent these things, whereby one can go more objectively rather than subjectively thinking. One can maintain the diary of a person regarding critical incidents and note down at the same time, which can be shown at the time of performance review interview. So performance interview is also very important, which should be given the due importance, and where in advance the subordinate should be told about that, and no interruptions should be there, and both should be ready with the what to discuss and how to give the feedback. Positive feedback should be given, and the principles of counseling also, which we discussed in the previous chapter, should be taken into consideration while performing the performance interview, and it will go a long way to motivate the hospital employees, whereby they are going to give excellent results, their performance will improve, and they are going to give quality services to the patients, which will help to improve the image of the hospital, profitability of the hospital, the market share of the hospital, and overall the outcome of the patients will improve day by day, and it will be considered to be an excellent hospital of high quality standard, to a global standard, one can say. Thank you.